And we're back from recess with a discussion regarding KDOT. Randy, how do we want to begin this, gentlemen? This is an item that's been going on for some time, if I'm not mistaken. Dan, would you like to address it, and we'll move forward from there?
Yes. There was a drawing. I talked to Spencer, and there was a engineering drawing, which was requested by the Corps of Engineers for the project. As they turned in the drawing, they turned in a drawing for a permanent fix on the fill that would go in at KDOT. That was for a 14-foot raise over the existing. These gentlemen brought that to us with a cost factor that would exceed what I thought needed to be done. So I asked if they would bring back a 5, 10, 15, or 25-year flood level on it so that we could cut the cost approximately in half, because as you raise the toe end of a road, it doesn't take very long to double the amount of fill that would be used on the project. So any feet that could be lowered, like on a lower flood plain.
Dan, I know that you know exactly where you're talking, but for the edification of those people that are listening, would you state exactly where this is at and give us a little background on it?
This is on K Highway. The approach is, it's Warren Road, actually.
Yes,
Warren Road. The discussion that we had with the Corps of Engineers and all of them here in agreement was that we would fill in, because we have County Road on one side, we have this dip here that gets covered up with water, and then we have the state that comes to that portion that is Corps of Engineers, and we wanted to fill that portion in so that those residents living on the other side didn't either. They used to take a boat, and then the county did some sort of agreement with Mr. Wilson on just the residents, which leaves a business down there. The boat dock and everything is a business that is a tax revenue source that is cut off, and they couldn't even be open during that time. So we asked for a graph of, and we've seen these graphs before, of elevations.
The drawings you have in front of you right now that you're looking at was drawn up going to the top elevation, so we didn't have to use the access road that we currently built.
Right.
And that is going to take a tremendous amount of fill, so we asked them to go back and do a study on how many times this road actually floods and to what elevation, to where we can kind of pick an elevation that was more reasonable.
Right.
To find out what's going to be more cost-effective.
Now, is the line that you've got drawn on this existing graph, is that where you're recommending?
Well, I'll explain both of these to you real fast.
Okay.
I got two pieces of information from you. If you'll take the bigger packet.
Go ahead and announce your name so we'll our minute here.
Sean Berry with Great River Associates.
Thank you.
The two pieces of information I put before you guys, if you'll take the bigger packet and turn to the first page, past the title.
Okay.
I know.
That piece of information is a document that the Corps provided us. We talked to John Heiser with the Corps several times in regards to this project, and he sent us this. I think Danny had asked us to come up or discuss with them a 20-year flood elevation. Well, he said that they don't have that information. That's not something they keep record of, but they do have historic elevation of Bull Shoals Lake for the past 50 years. So that document shows you from 1953 to present, but the first sheet shows to 1995 lake levels for every month of every year. The green line on that map shows the existing low spot elevation on KDOC Highway, or KDOC Road, at 682. So each time those blue peaks reach...
So it looks like six times, is that what I'm looking at?
Six times between 1953 and 1995. And then if you look at the other sheet that we've got, this is more detailed information that we did for the past 20 years.
Yes.
That's the number of days that it was flooded.
Yeah, there's another three times within the last 20 years. So for a total of nine events that would have caused KDOC to be closed in the last 58 years.
Right.
But okay. Since 2002, we've had three events.
Since 2002, we've had three events.
And if I'm reading this right, it's 77 days on the first event?
Correct.
144 days on the second event?
And then 25 on the third.
So that second event, which was the 08-09.
Right.
Okay.
So for a little bit of statistical numbers, for the last 20 years, at its current elevation, the road would have been closed for 246 days. Out of 20, so that's 3.4% of the time.
Okay.
John, and my purpose of doing that is the 5-foot elevation that they're wanting to raise it, the water, and it's been a heavy point of discussion here in the county, would probably make this chart a lot more different.
It would change that chart, correct?
Sure, it would.
They don't intend on changing the 100-year flood elevation. It'll remain at 695, but the normal pool elevation will come up 5 feet. That will affect these flood events. How much? It won't. It's not a. Hey, it's going to raise it all 5 feet. Mm-hmm. There's a iterative in between number that they would have to provide for us, and that's the piece of information we haven't got from them yet. But we're working with them to get that. But based on where it's at right now, these charts would be able to tell you what you'd expect.
I guess what we would want to know is if we could get a reasonable, say you've got 20 years, what can we raise it to not run into what we run in on the Swan Creek project, where unfortunately we did a 25-year flood elevation on it, and it flooded the next year. So it, of all the times, I don't think it's been underwater since, but it was kind of bad timing.
That wasn't on my term. That wasn't on your term either. It was just dating. Not on my term.
But anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about before
there.
You start blaming.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But anyway, I thought, if we could cut down on the amount of fill, which a lot of fill is available there on site, it's already been blasted, it's just laying in piles. If we could cut down on the fill by cutting down the elevation to the where, say, a 20 or 25 year plan, then we could go ahead and do the project and maybe have half the fill and half the cost in it. So that's where I'm coming from. I didn't want to raise it the full 14 to put it completely out because it's too much cost to the county.
This project, you know, make sure I understand, is this the project the Corps is working on?
Yeah, they've already did their work. They got a grant and did all the work down around the front of it
the
parking lot.
John Heiser came and presented all that to us,
mm-hmm.
and we basically said we want to add some and then they're going to cover it. What did we? I can't remind me of those conversations we had, Randy.
They basically worked on both sides of this basic fill area.
Okay.
They resurfaced the road from the end of the state maintenance down to this part that floods, and then they done work below this for people wanting to access and making a parking area for the lake.
Okay.
They've done some improvements to a drainage structure just below this fill area.
Okay.
But they didn't pave in between this particular area because they were talking with us and knew we were anticipating
doing some work
here. So they didn't waste putting asphalt on that particular
section. I want to make sure the Corps had done their part,
right.
And we told them to leave this section out because we were going to raise it to an elevation that was
satisfactory,
affordable, right. And then pave that structure.
And then what came in was a 14 foot above where it's existing, 14 foot of elevation, which takes a tremendous amount of fill. And so I myself thought that we would be better off if we do a 20 or 25, because we always have the agreement with Mr. Wilson to go across, and there's been monies invested there that if it went 25 years, once out of every 25 years, we could afford to, you know, use that particular access. But if we can raise it enough that it would be suitable for that, that's where I was at.
So we're at 682 right now, is what the current elevation of the road is. And when you say 14 feet, you're talking basically 695, 696.
695 is the 100-year flood elevation.
Okay. That's very, very expensive.
Yeah. 14 feet would put you 1 foot above that, which okay. you would expect it never to flood.
What's okay. What's the cost to do that?
We didn't put together a cost, but we put together a cut and fill quantity, and it was right around 7,000 yards of fill.
Okay.
And there's, I'm guessing, there was a number that you used, but I was thinking 1,500 yards that are, is already blasted.
What's the cost of placing that? I mean, what? Okay, I guess what you're saying.
7,000 yards.
And then what are you, and I guess your question is, the other question is, what is your, what are you guys recommending, Randy, Sean?
Our closest fill, other than what's here, that, and we estimated around 1,000 yard that's available on site or close proximity to that. The rest of it, we're looking at hauling 21 miles one way, so there's going to be a basic cost for that to our closest stockpile.
Okay.
That's material that we already have.
Okay. We're about 1,000 on site.
We're estimated.
Okay.
Pretty close. There's about that much here.
Okay.
Now, if there is a closest quarry or a closer quarry if we wanted to buy it, but that's going to be another cost. I mean, I was looking at material that we already have.
What does 1,000 yards give us? How many feet?
We haven't. We haven't profiled it to check how much fill it's going to take at every foot elevation of raise.
Okay.
But if it's at, that's what I thought we were looking at, is I could get some idea if you said it was, it needed to go to 685 or it needed to go to 688.
I guess I'm confused why we're meeting, and what are you supposed to tell us? What are you giving recommendations for us here?
I think we're looking for some direction as to what will be satisfactory for flooding of this road. If we're not going all the way up to the 696 elevation, what can the county live with as far as?
Well, I would need to know what free, which would be 1,000 for me. 1,000 cubic yards gives us, the first 1,000 gives us how many feet would be my first question, and then the second 1,000, because we're going to have to haul that in, there's a cost associated with that. So the second 1,000, how many extra feet does that give us from that perspective, and then the associated cost with it? Because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about hauling 6,000 cubic yards and placing that to get us to 14 feet, that seems like a lot of expense at 21 miles one way. That sounds like a pretty, I would just need to know some ballpark figures along the way, some milestones, like the first 1,000, the second 1,000, maybe the third 1,000, and see what that gets us from elevation-wise. Does that help?
Yeah, that we could do that. It'll take, we'll have to adjust the elevation of the road and run a cut and fill quantities for each elevation and give you quantities.
And maybe, guys, am I asking something wrong? Or what are you guys looking for?
You're right on track, and that's maybe not what I explained.
Okay.
But I wanted to know from this chart
that
this in the last 20 years has been above. And if we went to like 688, say, tell us what it's going to cost it to raise it to 688.
Maybe, 688 or 690, something like 688 is what the 2002 flood was.
Yeah.
688 gets us all but one event, which is the event of 2008, which is, that was a rare event. But.
Or if you wanted to go that, 682, is that what we're
at 682 now.
Right. Is that the line?
That's 682 is our current line.
Okay. 682 is the current flood line.
I mean, I guess my question would be this.
Current elevation.
1,000, 2,000, 3,000 cubic yards, what does that give us? And then if that doesn't get us to 688, what does get us to 688? Okay. That would be my fourth question.
We didn't want to move forward with spending a lot of time on design until we had some direction of where we need to go with it and what you guys want to see. So that's kind of what we brought this back to you.
Yeah.
I mean, if we raise it to 685, it looks like we still are not out of the three events that we had. So, I mean, we might as well try to raise it to 688 and get it out of the two events.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we looked at was take the nine events that happened in the last 60 years and what elevation is going to get rid of the what will get rid of the most of them without having to raise it too much. And if you raise it 5 feet from existing, you eliminate four of the nine events.
Okay.
So that's a 44% less likely to flood than it was at 682.
Now, from a I know this is not scientific here, what I'm going to ask here, but the event that took place in late fall of 09 looks like it hit at 681, basically. Are you guys seeing that same chart?
Mm-hmm.
Right on the single sheet of paper, the fall of 09, maybe almost 010, back in December, it looks like. If we had our 5 foot elevation raise at the pool level, would that have put us over 682? I know it's not scientific because capacity of the lake would hold differently and it wouldn't be 5 feet across the board. You see what, over here, looking at your, over here, it looks like it's 681 or so. If we, someday the Corps is going to raise its pool level.
Right. Jim, what, as we look at it as commissioner here, I want to show you something. I've already visited and talked about this project, and that the reason I didn't want to do the 7,000 feet is because, but every foot that we raise, the toe of this fill spreads.
Right.
And as you spread the toe, that means extra yards for each height. Every foot that you go up, you probably have to, there's a definite number of yards that for each foot that you would raise that the toe
spreads out farther.
So that's the reason I was wanting to cut it to the minimum. And if you cut it like to cut it 5 feet off of there is going to cut the quantity and more than the if it's 7,000, you're
going to. You're talking about raising the entire thing that you have on the picture, you're not, are you?
This section. You're talking about this section right here, right? From here?
This section, right here.
Where is the core? Where did the core paving stop?
Right here.
And right here, right?
Now the core.
Yes.
They worked on this side.
Highlighted. Oh, I see. Yeah, where the paving stopped.
So really, we have to pay from here to where Danny's finger is.
Yes.
Okay. And that's where we're talking about raising the elevation. It's between those two points.
Yeah. This road's what's
right there. I mean, I think we got to look at 688 if we're going to do this.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think we have to, but I don't want to. I don't.
You have an idea what it's going to cost?
That's. I have no idea what it's going to cost. 688 seems like a number that we should be striving for. That gets 688, 687 gets majority of the events.
Yeah.
The recent events out of play then.
And one thing you have to look at this term that it's got here. It's got 144 days. I was on location in. Here while it was under that water, so it peaked for 144 days at this, but it probably was down at this lower level for some period of time. I mean, you could drive a vehicle almost across it, which would have been 4 foot for some period of time of that 144 days. That's the reason I was thinking about raising it a smaller amount, because if it comes up and goes over it and it's closed for a week, that's different than having it closed 145 days out of the year for those citizens that live on that side and for that business,
right.
I mean, that's.
Oh, I think we should look at 688, is that 687?
That'd get 687, 88, that's a 5 to 6 foot raise.
Right.
That'll knock out almost half of the events in the last 50 years.
But we don't know how many yards that's going to be.
No, not without running that number. It won't be that hard to do that. We can rerun the profile with it. Coming up that high.
And our main interest is the number of yards we're going to have to transport from somewhere else.
So I'll need a number from you, Randy. When we get that number, whatever the thousands of cubic yards you need, I need to know what that number is. I mean, reality is, too. I mean, at 21 miles one way, that's hauling. That's a long project.
That's material that we already have existing. The material that we went to the I mean, we'd have to do comparisons on the quarry material plus the hauling cost on the other.
Absolutely.
So, that's something we need to know. It'd be,
Did they take out any of that lower road bluff that goes down there? I haven't been down there in a long time. Where it was so narrow and all that rock was on the right. They took that out?
Mm-hmm. They built a nice road all the way around it. That matter of fact, they elevated their road, probably 6 or 8 feet?
I don't know how much they elevated. I know they widened and resurfaced, and it's a pretty nice road around there now.
Yeah.
So.
So that's what our task to put upon you is to figure out how much fill we're going to have if we raise it.
Would you guys like to see a total project cost associated with each level, paving and earthwork?
Well, paving is going to be the same no matter what it is, right?
Right, it'd be the same surface width and same length.
I mean,
basically, what we have there is we're going to have the paving expense no matter what, because
right.
We got county road on the other side. We've got is there two or three county roads on the other side, Randy? Warren and
Parksley. We go up Parksley for
there's
a short
two or three county roads that split off after you get up on top of it there. So
I don't think we need a breakdown. I guess what I need to know
we need to know fill.
The fill, I mean, if we do it ourselves,
and the cost. Mm-hmm. For what it would take
and time.
Us to do.
I'm thinking that's
the reason I wanted to get it done while this winter. I would think there was a hold up here that we could have had this project.
All in fill.
We could have had this project done.
Well, yeah, I guess I would just, we knew how much it's going to cost us in the fill and how much we're going to have to haul and. You guys have enough direction then, do you think?
$688
And that'll be 7 foot lower than you figured it before? With the 7,000 yards?
9 feet.
8 feet
lower.
Yeah, see 8 foot of fill. Going up 8 foot, ain't no telling how wide the toe is on that particular.
That's true.
So
we may be able to work with the geometrics and get it tighter too, since it's a lot less.
Okay.
Yeah. Increase in height. So
okay.
We'll work on that and bring it back to you guys for your consideration.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Randy.
Randy, we had to. You've got two. You might as well have him eliminate one of those. We had two of those. The first one was filling in that big.
The first one we eliminated. The one we're going with is staying with the existing road.
All right.
So we're not moving out of the existing alignment.
Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Just
you bet.
Right. Right. We and keep in mind that the less fill is what we're wanting. We need the height.
Past this, especially.
Right.
Have you looked into the cheaper to buy it than it is for you guys to haul it? I guess it's just kind of.
I don't want to get that cost real quick.
So I need to create a new policy. Like repost it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you can go back to the V Highway project and find out how much it was per mile to get there.
Yes, sir.
Good seeing you again. Thank you, sir.
V Highway dip.
Looking for that sheet.
See, the way this was worded, I just assumed there was only three options.
But there wasn't. Apparently, these are the only three that
have
been chosen.
These are like the checkpoints along the way there.
And currently, it reads 20 hours and up.
All right.
So if you're working 22 hours or 25 hours.
Do we amend my motion or reconsider the motion?
If we.
We all voted for it, reconsider it.
We'll just strengthen it. Make another motion that minimally there has to be
75%.
Minimum, you have to be minimum 75%.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum 30 hours.
Without partial.
To qualify for 30.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you amend the addition motion or just?
You have to make a motion to revisit, and then we have to make another motion to take the place of it.
You want to do that?
Well, I'm thinking that the motion you made struck
that.
So that's gone.
And that's all that motion did.
So I can
but
have
now
a,
if you want a new motion, you can.
Okay.
You can do it that way.
All right.
All right.
Let me just, you know how you reward it?
Well, just to bring it up and to note that we had discussed earlier benefits for employees. And there was an option that had been offered for employees working 20 hours a week. And if I'm not mistaken, what current county commission policy is through a motion that had been made by a previous commission that if you work 20 hours a week or above incrementally, you can share in what? Come right on in, Don.
Well, at the recess, that's when you clarified the motion. I didn't know that if you worked 25 hours, you still qualified. I didn't. I thought it was just at 25, 20 hours, 30 hours, and 40 hours. So what I want to do is I'm going to add an additional motion under that same posting just to say that in order to get I'll move that we modify the existing policy for the 75% employee plan that an employee must work a minimum of 30 hours in order to qualify for the 75-25 cost share health benefits plan.
And or partial benefits from that 75% all the way up to 100.
Right. They have to have a minimum of 30 hours to qualify. That's the motion.
I'll second it.
I'll have to word it.
Motion's been made and seconded to amend the existing policy that would require an employee to work 30 hours a week in order to receive partial benefits. Don? Go ahead.
Presently, the county commission pays that $100.
Go ahead and get close enough where we can hear what you.
Presently, the commission pays $100. The county does on employees that have dependents.
Full-time employees.
Yes.
Okay.
So, do we include that $100 if they have their dependents on in that 75%? Because we have not been.
I would say no. I mean, it's for full-time. Sure. That cost share was only for full-time employees, how I understood it.
Yeah.
That was before my time, but I believe that was for only full-time when I was reviewing the handbook stuff. Danny, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we figure we need to include that $100 if they have dependents.
From a figuring, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from yeah.
Okay.
When you're figuring the
yes.
percentages,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Motion's been made and seconded to right. amend the existing policy for those individuals that are eligible for partial benefits to a minimum of 30 hours per week. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Under
Thank you, Don.
Under Administrative, I was just going to bring this up just for those people. Sometimes this gets lost in all the business the county does. Back in August of 2009, the County Commission implemented the NACO prescription drug card program. Because we are a member of NACO, there's multiple benefits, but this is one of them where in the event that a citizen of Taney County doesn't have any prescription drug card through their employer or if there's not a policy out there like Walmart at one time offered $4 prescription for something, and in the event that none of those apply, NACO has worked with CVS Caremark to come up with a prescription drug card program. And Ron, I know you're very familiar with this program. But I just recently got the November results and wanted to point out that we now have approached 1,000 people have used the program and they have personally seen a savings of just shy of $15,000. It was actually $14,991. So, and the reason I bring the significance of that is NACO is just finishing up their trial run of 20 counties to do a NACO Vision Card program for vision care. And so that will be rolling out. I'm heard later on this year is that they'll roll it out for all NACO members, which they will also be able to take advantage of. And I don't have the details of the Vision program, but once again, some of the things that we do with NACO as a membership, this is one of the multiple advantages. I know we do purchasing through some of the arrangements we have through U.S. communities and things like that, but that's through our NACO relationship. But
wanted to point out that we've now had 920 people total utilizers. We've had 2,100 people price the card. So the good thing is people are using the card, pricing it. We had 2,142 people price it, which means they weren't sure which was cheaper, and 920 people have utilized it, saving $14,991. The other reason I brought that is that we're getting ready to distribute these to the school system again, where they'll include them. It's a free prescription card. They mailed us more cards, and we're going to get them to the school system and circulate them again. So just remind people that this is available to them. There's just an update. I know. Go ahead, Ron.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your approval.
Mr. Hausman, may I address the commission under administrative? I would wait, but I have I'm short staffed today, and I need to get back in the office.
Roger.
Where do we have?
Right there.
Go right ahead, Donna.
Okay. I've had a request for additional information on the petition that was filed regarding planning and zoning. I checked with the Secretary of State's office and also checked the statutes wherein I can charge for providing information regarding the petition. At this time, the petition is closed and has been handled properly by my office. If someone wishes to challenge that, challenge the individual persons, they would have to take it to court to challenge that. If an individual would like a report showing who has been accepted or rejected, we can print that report out, but they certainly have to pay for that like any other public service request.
Not everyone is aware of what you're chatting about. If you would like to state that, give us a little background, then.
Certainly.
Thank you.
That's the petition for planning and zoning. Some citizens got together and petitioned the removal of planning and zoning. And I had a request today to set and review.
Excuse me just a minute. Go ahead, Donna.
I had a request today to set down and review each signature to prove my position, and I don't have the time to do that unless ordered to do so by the court. And then, of course, we will have to comply with any court order. But I am happy to print off for any individual requesting that information a list that shows each person's name and whether they were accepted or rejected. So I wanted to make the commission aware of that issue and the response from the Secretary of State's office. Any questions? All right, thank
you.
Not for me.
Donna?
Yes, sir.
If I understand what you have said, but if a person wanted to know the list of those people that were not accepted, is that different than the entire list?
Well, I don't think I can print it off separately, Danny. It prints off as one report and show, but I can check into that.
Okay, I didn't know. I just was just asking the question.
Right now it shows page one, line one, and then the person's name, and then whether they were accepted or rejected and why. If they were rejected, it says, like, for instance, a lot of them say no registered, not registered, and so on and so forth. So,
Danny, Jim, do either of you have anything further for this morning's agendized items?
Yes, sir.
No.
I would move that we stand in recess until 1 o'clock, at which time we will be meeting in executive session here regarding the judicial facility.
And then going live at 2 o'clock.
Then we'll come back live at 2 o'clock for public comment.
Okay.